worship music.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Thursday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for listening today. It's good to have you with us. Good to be with you. Feasting on the Word of God today. And so that's what we're going to be doing. Thank you for tuning in. We do want to remind you that tomorrow night we will be having our young adult service that we've been having for about 6 months now. And that will be taking place at 6:30. What it does, it meets on our young adults meet on the first and the third Fridays of the month at 6:30. And so I did fail to mention that we're going to be having a Iron Men's breakfast this coming Saturday. I don't think I mentioned that on yesterday's broadcast, so I wanted to mention that. And then Sunday morning I will be preaching, and then we have our grow groups on Sunday night. And so any of those things that you are able to participate in, we would love to have you come and join us. We do want to say thank you to Wyrick Air, 632-9538, 632-9538. Thank them for helping us to bring the Word of God to Brevard County. So want to go back today to Genesis chapter 43. We're going to get into the Word. We read this passage yesterday, but I didn't get very far in it. And so let's look at Genesis 43, chapter 43, verse number 1 today. Now the famine was severe in the land, and it came to pass when they had eaten up the grain which they had brought from Egypt that their father said to them, "Go back, buy us a little food." But Judah spoke to him, saying, "The man solemnly warned us, saying, 'You shall not see my face unless your brother is with you. If you send our brother with us, we will go down and buy you food. But if you will not send him, we will not go down. For the man said to us, "You shall not see my face unless your brother is with you."'" And Israel said, "Why did you deal so wrongfully with me as to tell the man whether you had still another brother?" But they said, "The man asked us pointedly about ourselves and our family, saying, 'Is your father still alive? Have you another brother?' And we told him, 'According to these words, could we possibly have known that he would say, "Bring your brother down."'" Let's stop reading there for just a moment. I talked about this yesterday, but in chapter 43 is the transition. It's when Jacob decides, "Hey, I need to send you boys back. The groceries are gone. The grain is all eaten. We need you to go. We've got a little bit left to tide us over until you get back, but we need to send you now. I know that Simeon has been in jail for all this time while we have been feasting, but now it's starting to affect us." I have a question for those of us who are believers today, and that is this. How long are we going to let sinners stay in captivity to sin? Are we going to recognize the urgency and the necessity of them being set free and delivered, or are we just going to wait until it is expedient for us because we have a need? There's something we need, and the only way that we can get it is if we meet the terms and we go to where that person is held in captivity and they're going to be set free. You see, a lot of churches never give any thought to the lost. They don't give too much consideration to the hurting. Too many times the The church is seen as a spiritual country club instead of a hospital for healing the broken, the wounded, the bleeding, and the dying. I want you to know, at Merit Assembly of God, we don't have it all figured out. We just know the one who does. We're allowing him to minister to us, and because we have received comfort ourselves, we want to be dispensers of comfort as well. And so I could, just about any scenario that you could describe, I know people who have gone through, or know family members who have gone through those scenarios. You want to talk about prodigal sons? We know people like that. You want to talk about prodigal daughters? We know people like that. You want to talk about marital difficulties? We can talk about that. Substance issues? We know people who've come through those things. We know people who've gone through them victoriously, and those people who didn't. We understand. You want to talk about losing your job? We could have a very long discussion about that. Last week I was under the weather, and a person contacted me and described a situation that they were going through, and I'm praying for them. But when I was able to communicate back with them, I let them know I've been where you are, and I will be praying for you. But I want you to know this: God is faithful. God is faithful. Let's not prolong our Simeon's captivity simply because we have money in our bank, we have health in our bodies, and we have people sitting in our pews. Instead, let's realize, hey, we need to do something to make sure the captives are no longer held in captivity. Aren't you glad that Jesus came to set the captives free? I am very thankful that he came to destroy the yoke. He came to break the chains. I love celebrating the victory that Jesus brings. But Jacob is of the mindset that he's still the one controlling the purchase of goods. And I want to remind you that we are not the ones who gets to define good, God's definition of good. We do not get to redefine God's terms at a lower level and expect that his covenant is going to meet us in a lower standard of holiness. It's not going to happen. It might work with men, but it will not work with God. Read the Old Testament and you will see what happens when God's covenant people do not live up to God's term or God's covenant on his terms. It's not that he stops loving them, but he eventually brings them back around. He begins to operate in different manners in their life so that they will know who he is and know the blessings and the favor of God that's in his life. And all of a sudden, we see something that rises up, and we saw it in chapter 42 in Reuben. But in chapter 43 in verse 3, we see it with Judah. Judah reminds him, he said, the man told us, and it's this word is used, solemnly warned us not to come back without Benjamin. That if we did, that we would be considered spies. And if I remember correctly, then they were going to be deemed dishonest people, and it would not go well with them if they came back without Benjamin the next time. And so Judah reminds Jacob of the terms, and Jacob in verse number 6, he said, why did you deal so wrongfully with me as to tell the man whether you still had another brother? And Judah responds, he said, the man asked us very pointedly. Actually, all the brothers said, The man asked us very pointedly about our family situation. Do you have another brother? And we told him, according to these words, could we possibly have known what he had in mind, what was going to take place, just because we answered the question? Let me take for just a moment and let me share a personal life lesson with you. I'm the type of person that I like for people to like me. I like everybody to like me. But I've realized that that is an unrealistic expectation. I realized that it was a trap of the enemy, and so I have as my ultimate goal for God to like me. I really like it when my wife likes me and my kids like me and my church likes me. But if other people do not like me, I've learned to deal with it. But along the journey, I have discovered that I had a propensity for, if someone asked me a question, that I felt compelled to answer the question. And sometimes the people asking the question weren't asking the question because they loved me or were concerned about me or wanted to know me better. They were asking questions simply because they wanted weapons to be able to use against me. You will see that in Jesus' ministry in the New Testament, that they were asking him questions to set a trap for them. And so then, you know, if someone's asking you a question and you're saying, you know, I don't trust them with the answer, then you're faced with a dilemma. You know, do I tell them the truth? Do I tell them a fabrication? What, you know, what I do? And you, as a Christian, we tell the truth. And so what I have found is that I have had to come to the place that if somebody asks a question that they didn't necessarily have the jurisdiction to ask or need to ask, I would say, I really appreciate you asking that question, but that's really not information that I feel at liberty to divulge at this point in time. And I'm not talking about in a criminal sense or a police sense or anything like that. I'm just talking about with social interaction with people. People have a tendency, we'll get down real, people can be nosy. People can be prying and they want to know all of the details and the intricacies of your life. And like I say, they want to use it as a trap and as a weapon. And so I would just encourage you, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and allow him to bring you to a level of maturity. You're going to see a lot of gotcha questions in the political realm over the next year and a half. Is it just me, or does it seem like we just went through an election cycle and here we are, and this one is going on quite an extensive journey of its own? But there are people who will ask you, in politics they're called gotcha questions. So they'll ask you a question where it doesn't matter what you answer, it's the wrong answer. And so I just encourage you to guard your heart, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Here the brother said, how could we possibly have known that when we answered his question, he was going to say, bring your younger brother down? It never entered our mind that that was in the realm of possibility. Verse number 8, then Judah said to Israel, his father, send the lad with me and we will arise and go that we may live and not die, both we and you and also our little ones. I myself will be surety for him. From my hand you shall require him. If I do not bring him back to you and set him before you, then let me bear the blame forever. And Judah says, I'm willing to step up and take some responsibility here. Let me just commend him for being a person who stepped up and said, make me responsible. If I don't bring him back, hold me responsible and I will bear the blame for the rest of my life. let me explain to you that we need people in our churches who will accept the responsibility. Listen to what Judah is really saying, the urgency and the reason that he is stepping up in the responsibility is, he says, "Dad, I don't want to die. I don't want our brothers to die of starvation. I don't want you to die of starvation. And I don't want all of these kids and your grandkids to die of starvation. I will step up and take responsibility for Benjamin simply because we can act and do something and keep people from starving to death." And if there would be a lot more, "Here am I, send me," going on in the church instead of the mindset that somebody else is going to talk to the lost, somebody else is going to do the financial heavy work, somebody else is going to help take care of the facility, somebody else is going to change the diapers in the nursery, someone else is going to clean the restroom, somebody else is going to take an investment in the young men and the young women in our community. Somebody else is going to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. We need people who will step up in responsibility and say, I'm not going to starve to death, not physically and not spiritually. I'm not going to let my parents' needs go unattended to. I will be responsible. I will never, ever forget this conversation. I happened to be flipping through the channels one night. I've never been a late night comedian viewer. I just kind of flipped through the channels one night. And this goes back a ways. I don't remember which program it was, but it was either it was either David Letterman or Jay Leno, I believe. And one of them was interviewing a very famous actress married to a very famous actor, both of whom have made millions and millions of dollars. And they were discussing Social Security, and they were talking about something that was going on. And this person, this female actress, made this statement: I have people in my family. Who is going to take care of their needs?" Now, I want you to know I'm thankful for Social Security, and that we have had that investment safety net for decades now. I'm thankful that it's there. But I want to share with you that what happened to me. I mean, most of the time you're about to fall asleep. I sat up in my bed. I wanted to yell at the television and said, "You could help take care of them." Sorry if I'm getting a little loud here on the radio. "You could help take care of them. You and all your millions of dollars and your fancy clothes and your fancy cars, you are given the privilege of helping to take care of your parents and your grandparents. Whatever the need might be, you could help shoulder that burden." And honestly, I don't think it ever entered their mind that that was in the realm of possibility. Now, I want to talk to you about the responsibility to reach the lost and let you know that yours is the responsibility. It is not just mine as a pastor. It is not just the Sunday school teacher. It is not just the board members. It is all of our responsibility to make sure that there is spiritual food in God's house, that there is the bread of life in God's house. Let's make sure that there is not a famine of the word, a famine of hearing the word, a famine of doing the word, a famine of sharing the word. Wow, that's pretty good preaching right there, and I didn't have that written down or anything like that. That's all brand new. Let's see if a famine of hearing the word, a famine of the word, a famine of living or doing the word, and a famine of sharing the word. That's a pretty good 4-point message. Anyway, let's move on. It says, If I do not bring him back to you and set him before you, then let me bear the blame forever. For if we had not lingered, surely by now we would have returned the second time. Listen to what Judah says. For if we had not lingered, surely by now we would have returned the second time. He says, if we had not been procrastinating, we could have already gone back to Egypt and we would have already returned and we would not be in the current crisis we are in now if we had not procrastinated. I want to talk to you about the folly of procrastination. You are talking to a person who has experience with procrastination. When I was in high school, it was in my senior year, I ended up making straight A's that year, but I remember one particular class. It was getting close to the end of the year, and I had procrastinated on several homework assignments, had not turned them in, and so I stayed up one night. I stayed up until 3 o'clock in the morning and did all of the homework assignments, and I turned them in. It probably was, you know, only two or three. And so I showed up for class the next morning. I think I had to catch the bus at 7 or leave the house at 7 to catch the bus. So I got to class and I told the teacher, I said, I stayed up until 3 o'clock in the morning doing the homework. And she was just so impressed about my commitment until she found out that it was homework that was late. And I was doing all of that because I had procrastinated. And then she said, I don't feel sorry for you at all. You created this crisis on your own by procrastinating. You know, there's an old expression, procrastinators of the world meet tomorrow. That we're always going to act upon it some other time. And I want you to know that a fire rarely goes out whenever we fail to attend it. It rarely burns itself out. The problem never seems to just disappear on its own. It needs to be addressed. And I tell you, I would much rather, if I had to wrestle an alligator, which I never have, if I had to wrestle an alligator, I would rather wrestle a newborn than wait until it became 12 feet long. I don't want to wrestle a 12-foot long alligator. I don't want to wait to address sin issues in my life. I don't want to wait to address financial issues in my life. Hear me, men, because this is a big one for men. Do not procrastinate dealing with the health issues in your life. And again, I have experience in that area, so I want to encourage you, don't ignore the problem. Don't just sit back and hope that it is going to go away. You and I, we need to recognize what Judah is telling Jacob here, and that is this. We could have already solved this problem and moved on and no longer be in crisis situation if we simply hadn't procrastinated. I'm going to back up here into the middle of back up into verse 5, and it says this, but if you will not send him, we will not go down, for the man said to us. As you are going through your day on this Thursday, I hope that you and I will have the same mindset about Jesus that Judah had concerning Benjamin. Judah said, Dad, if you won't send Benjamin with us, we're not going. If you won't send our brother with us, we're not going. Moses said, God, if your presence does not go with us into the promised land, we're not going. We need the presence of Jesus Christ. I was in my office the other day and I was like, you know, I just really need to spend some time worshiping the King. And so, I put on, YouTube and began to play some praise and worship music. And, it was just me and Jesus and some music coming off of the computer. And I want you to know that there's no substitute for the presence. Thank God for wisdom. Thank God for all of the technology that He has allowed to be created that can assist us in doing our ministry of taking the good news of Jesus Christ across the globe. But let me tell you, it takes the presence of the Holy Spirit to convict a sinner of their sins. And at Merit Assembly of God, we need the presence of the Holy Spirit because we don't want people dying in their sin. We want people repenting of their sin. It takes the presence of Jesus Christ living in us and moving through us and going with us that enables people to see that we are empowered by a different compassion than what the world operates in. We don't do it to make ourselves feel good. We do it to transform the lives of other people. We need the presence of Jesus Christ. How about you, where you are at today? You may be facing a big challenge at work. You may be facing a big challenge at home or in your finances. Right now, a lot of kids are returning to college, and that can be a crisis time for some marriages. People who have become so wrapped up in their kids that they have neglected their own marital relationship. And now they're sitting there in an empty house and they don't even know one another anymore. I want to encourage you, the presence of God can help you through that empty nest and rekindle that first love. Can I encourage you? Don't throw in the towel. Don't throw in the towel. But instead, throw in your pride and say, God, I need your presence. I need it today. I need it at work. I need it at home. I need it in my mind. I need your presence in my body. I need your presence in my relationships. Let's just pray today for the presence of God. Father, I pray for your presence to go with us, Lord. That journey that is going to bring life and vitality to the kingdom of God. It's going to build the kingdom of God right here in Brevard County. God, I pray that there would not only be your presence, but saints would rise up and say with responsibility that I will go. I will take the message. I will shine the light. I will be salt and light in this community for the glory of God. We will not procrastinate. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.